church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Family. First, however, our bulletin of church news. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis presided at Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Sunday morning, a Sunday dedicated to the Word of God, during which he conferred the new ministry of catechist on 5 men and 3 women from various parts of the world. He also conferred the ministry of lector on a group of laymen and women. Christopher Wells reports.
Everything started with the word that God spoke to us, said Pope Francis in his homily during the Mass for the Sunday of the Word of God. So he said, let us keep our gaze fixed on Jesus.
Teniamo lo sguardo fisso su Gesù.
And let us embrace his word. The Holy Father highlighted two aspects of the day's readings. The Word of God reveals God, and His Word leads us to man. The Pope noted that in the Gospel, Jesus reveals that He came to liberate the poor and the oppressed, showing that God is not detached or indifferent to humanity, but is close to human beings and wants to care for them. Pope Francis said, the Word of God nurtures and renews our faith. Let us put it back at the center of our prayer and our spiritual life. This revelation of God leads us to the human race. God's word, the Pope said, impels us to go forth from ourselves and to encounter our brothers and sisters solely with the quiet power of God's liberating love. In particular, Jesus, when preaching in the synagogue at Nazareth, said that he had been sent to the poor to set them free. In this way, the Pope said, he shows us the worship most pleasing to God, caring for our neighbor.
In questo modo ci rivela qual è il culto più gradito a Dio, prendersi cura del prossimo.
The Word of God, Pope Francis explained, challenges and disturbs us, so that we will not remain indifferent to the sufferings of this world, which fall disproportionately on the poor. It urges us to act, he said, to combine worship of God and care for men and women. Pope Francis insisted the Word desires to take flesh today. Noting the conferral of the ministers of lector and catechist during the liturgy, the Pope explained they are called to the important work of serving the gospel of Jesus, of proclaiming him, so that his consolation, his joy, and his liberation can reach everyone. This is also the mission of all Christians, the Pope said, to be credible messengers, prophets of God's word in the world.
Perciò appassioniamoci alla Sacra Scrittura.
The Pope called on the faithful to grow passionate about sacred scripture, exhorting them to put the Word of God at the center of the Church's life and pastoral activity, and to listen to that Word, pray with it, and put it into practice. I'm Christopher Wells.
Following the morning celebration in St. Peter's Basilica for the Sunday of the Word of God, Pope Francis greeted pilgrims in the square for the midday Angelus, encouraging them to read the Gospel every day to be inspired and transformed with the newness and joy of God. In comments after praying the Angelus, the Pope called for an International Day of Prayer for Peace on Wednesday, the 26th of January, to stop the crisis in Ukraine from worsening, saying the tensions were threatening the security of Europe and risking vast repercussions. And in the context of the ongoing Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, Pope Francis at the Angelus on Sunday reminded the faithful about his recent proclamation of Saint Irenaeus of Lyon as Doctor of the Church with the title Doctor Unitatis, Doctor of Unity. Thaddeus Jones has that report.
Following the morning celebration in St. Peter's Basilica for Sunday of the Word of God, Pope Francis greeted pilgrims in the square for the midday Angelus, encouraging them to read the Gospel every day to be inspired and transformed with the newness and joy of God. Sunday's Gospel recounts when Jesus began his preaching at the synagogue in Nazareth, where he grew up, and proclaimed the message in the prophet Isaiah of consolation and liberation for the poor and oppressed, saying, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled." Speaking on the Gospel reading, Pope Francis said, "The today pronounced by the Lord runs through all ages and always remains valid." The Pope described how people were moved by Jesus' words and realized there's something more here, but they were clouded by their own ideas and prejudices. What they were witnessing was this anointing of the Holy Spirit as Jesus fills with meaning by the power of the Spirit, the Pope explained. And when our own sermons remain generic or abstract, even if well-written and delivered, they often do not touch the soul or the lives of people because they need this anointing of the Spirit. Without this, he said, our preaching risks impoverishing the Word of God, presenting the gospel as something outside of time or an abstract idea. He said our preaching instead must flow from the anointing of the Spirit and the experience of this today of Jesus, recalled in today's gospel.
In questa domenica della parola di Dio vorrei ringraziare I predicatori che hanno...
Expressing his gratitude to all those who proclaim and teach the gospel, especially on this Sunday of the Word of God, Pope Francis encouraged everyone to pray for all in this ministry so that they may be full of the Spirit that makes the Scriptures come alive, noting how the Word of God is always alive and effective, comforting and changing us while guiding our daily lives. In conclusion, the Pope underlined how the Word of God transforms an ordinary day into the today in which God speaks to us, encouraging everyone to keep a gospel within reach and to calmly read and reread a small passage every day. In time, he said, we'll see how these words are speaking directly to us and help us lead a better and more peaceful life. Because when the gospel enters into today's world, it fills it with God, he added, and by continually familiarizing ourselves with the gospel, it will bring us the newness and joy of God.
La parola di Dio è anche il faro.
The Word of God is also the beacon that guides the synodal journey that has begun throughout the Church, the Pope noted, and he said, as we strive to listen to each other with attention and discernment, let us listen together to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and may Our Lady obtain for us the constancy to nourish ourselves with the gospel every day.
Ieri a San Salvador sono stati beatificati il sacerdote gesuita Rutilio Grande Garcia.
At the conclusion of the address, Pope Francis recalled yesterday's beatification in San Salvador of Jesuit Father Rutilio Grande Garcia and two lay companions, and Franciscan Father Cosme Spesotto, martyrs for the faith. The Pope praised their witness in standing by the poor, bearing witness to the gospel, to truth, and to justice, even to the point of shedding their own blood. He prayed that their heroic examples might bring forth in everyone the desire to give courageous witness to fraternity and peace, asking everyone in the square to give their applause to the new blesseds.
Nel contesto della settimana di preghiera per l'unità dei cristiani,
he also recalled that in this week of prayer for Christian unity, he's accepted a widely supported proposal and proclaimed Saint Irenaeus of Lyon a doctor of the universal church. He said the teaching of this shepherd saint and teacher is like a bridge between East and West, and this is why we call him a doctor of unity, Doctor Unitatis. He asked the Lord to grant us, through his intercession, to work all together for the full unity of Christians.
Meanwhile, we would like to inform our listeners on shortwave radio in West Africa that they can follow the live commentary of Tuesday evening's ecumenical prayer on the 9,705 kHz on the 31-meter band, that is 9,750 kHz, 31-meter band, beginning at 17:25 local time in Rome, or 1625 UTC. And now these thoughts on Christian unity from Bishop Jan de Kroef of Bethlehem Diocese in South Africa. The bishop spoke on the sidelines of the ongoing plenary assembly of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference. The theme for this year's observance, "We saw the star in the east and we came to worship him," was chosen by the Middle East Council of Churches.
In South Africa, we transfer this week to the week between Ascension and Pentecost. So a bit different from the week of prayer internationally, of course, it's from the 18th, which I find also a time which is opportune to pray sisters in the Middle East. So it's very opportune, the star coming from the east. which is guiding us towards Jesus Christ. And that search for Jesus Christ, of course, brings us together because we all believe in the same Christ. We are all baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's our mission to guide others on their way to Christ. But how can we do that if we are disunited? If we not really work together and give witness together as Christian churches, my wish is that, of course, we join together in this prayer and that we learn more to listen to each other. We have sometimes there are quite a few prejudices one to the other about the way they believe and express their belief. So, but the main thing is to come together and listen to each other. And we have this now at the plenary. This time we have invited three church leaders from different churches to share their experience of synodality, the synodal part. And we want to listen to them, to their experience.
That was Bishop Jan de Kroef of Bethlehem Diocese in South Africa. The Catholic bishops of Malawi have called for a more robust fight against corruption, which they say is causing untold suffering to the vast majority of ordinary Malawians who face crushing poverty on a daily basis. In a statement titled "Call for a Relentless Fight Against Corruption," the bishops lamented the fact that the vice has taken deep roots in the country in such a degree that even those tasked with fighting and eliminating corruption are too often sucked into it. The statement, dated the 19th of January and signed, among others, by the president of the conference, Archbishop Thomas Msusa of Blantyre, said no one should be pressured, intimidated or influenced by threats or other means in carrying out their work for the good of the country. They said judicial authorities have a key role to play in this fight and therefore urged the judiciary to be professional in handling corruption cases in order to avoid loss of public trust. In conclusion, the bishops of Malawi called on the civil, criminal, constitutional and administrative authorities to ensure that cases of corruption are tried quickly and that everyone is treated equally before the law. In related news, the Catholic bishops of Central African Republic have expressed concern about abuses by armed groups, the uncontrolled exploitation of the country's resources, the protracted culture of corruption, and an education system that is on the verge of collapse. The bishops sounded the alarm in a joint statement issued at the end of the recent plenary assembly of the conference known by the acronym CHECA. They said corruption in the country, together with the abuse of foreign parties, creates the condition for the continuing exploitation of natural resources and international marginalization. The bishops therefore called for greater transparency in agreements between their country and foreign partners and nations. Commenting on the perception of the country's image abroad, they denounced what they described as media outbursts and disinformation campaigns aimed at tarnishing the image and reputation of the country in order to maintain conflicting tensions in defiance of the sovereignty of the Central African state. In their message, titled "Let's Work Together in the Midst of a Changing Society," the CHECA members went on to provide some way forward. They suggest that there be a sincere and inclusive dialogue that will unite the country amid the violence and political differences. We strongly hope that this dialogue should not become a platform for impunity. There is no question of sacrificing the demands of justice on the altar of politics, the Catholic bishops of the CAR said. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as the family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program Family. From May May 2021 until July 2022, the Jesuits all over the world are celebrating the Ignatian year. Perhaps I should say the church all over the world is celebrating the year of St. Ignatius of Loyola. What does this mean? To shed light on this, I have with me Jesuit priest Father Gustave Peibo. He is based in Cape Coast, Ghana. Father Gustave, welcome to this discussion. But first of all, do tell us something about yourself and your ministry in Ghana.
Thank you very much, Father Paul. My name is Gustave Peibo. I am a Jesuit priest from Ghana. I'm the director of the Clover House Jesuit Retreat Center here in Cape Coast, Ghana, and also the local vocations coordinator for the Ghana zone of the Africa Northwest Province of the Society of Jesus.
We live in a busy world. We are on the move all the time, trying to make money, check Facebook, and so on and so forth. What kind of people come through Clover House Jesuit Retreat Center? What are they looking for, and what do you give them in return?
Well, mostly we have seminarians and sisters of religious congregations, single young men and women, as well as couples coming to us. We also go out to preach and direct retreats and recollections to various groups, for instance, to the staff, teaching and non-teaching staff of schools around us. And we also give courses on discernment and Ignatian spirituality. Now, what all these groups have in common generally is that they want to connect or reconnect with God and find purpose and meaning in their daily lives and toil. In particular, some, they come here to prepare for their professional vows or to renew them. And in the case of the non-religious, they are seeking some solution to a particular problem that they have at work, in their workplaces or communities. Or sometimes they want to choose a state of life, whether to get married or to remain single, or to choose the religious life or to begin to minister in the prisons. And for some of them, they just want an increase in God's grace and favor in their souls. Some just also want to amend their lives for the better. Now, when they come, what we offer them basically is just the spiritual exercises adapted to their contexts and experiences, and trying to accompany them to make sense of how God can be perceived and experienced through their daily encounters with people and with events. And we also guide them to discern for themselves how to read the signs of the times and respond to the call of Christ in their daily lives. And when we give workshops and courses on discernment, we equip our participants with tools on how to make decisions, how to discern in their personal lives and in their respective communities.
For Jesuits and those who follow the Ignatian spirituality, spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola are something important to this spirituality. What are the spiritual exercises all about? How would you explain that to someone who just dropped off the bus from nowhere?
At the first level, I'll say that the exercises, it's about finding God's will in the general disposition of one's own life. And then at the second level, I'll say it's about finding greater harmony or symphony with the will of God and which direction that will of God is leading one towards. And they also, the exercises, they enable a person's soul to be able to make decisions in the full brightness of God's light and with total generosity of self. So to the one who just dropped off the bars from nowhere, I will use Father General Arturo Sosa here. I'll rely on his view here that the exercises is about listening to and perceiving God's voice and God's heartbeat in every encounter, be it in people, in places, in events around us, in a way which encourages life and spirituality. So being on a bus from one point to the other with a driver in the driving seat and other commuters on the bus, that's the whole spiritual life compressed in one moment on a bus. If a commuter can only pause and reflect, then that would be a rich and concrete symbol of the spiritual exercises.
One does not have to be a Jesuit priest to follow Ignatian spirituality. Talk to us about the Christian life communities, the CLC groups that try to follow the Ignatian way.
Oh, Christian life communities, they are a great treasure to the church and the society of Jesus. And these are just small groups of individuals who are not merely inspired by Ignatian spirituality, but through their daily lives, they undertake and live out concretely the spiritual exercises. And I have had experiences with the CLC groups in Lagos and Nairobi, where they meet regularly in small groups to pray and reflect on the scriptures and to share their lives and also support each other through ordinary living. And by listening to each other, they experience growth in their lives and they deepen their relationship with God, because somehow they embrace the unique ways in which they are able to respond to God's love in an Ignatian way. So you can describe them, CLC members, Christian Life Community, you can describe them as contemplatives in action in places where Jesuits will normally not be found.
What should we expect for the closing in July this year of the Ignatian year, commemorating 500 years of St. Ignatius of Loyola?
The Ignatian year is a commemoration of that cannonball wound that St. Ignatius suffered in the battle at Pamplona in 1521. And that wound was the happy beginning of Ignatius seeing all things new in Christ. It was a moment of change, of conversion and transformation, in spite of the fact that it was really a life-shattering accident for Ignatius. And the Society of Jesus wants to remind Jesuits and collaborators of that wound, which had a sort of domino effect in the life of Christian spirituality, the church, and the world at large. However, the focus is on Christ. We need to put Christ in the center every time, again and again. That cannonball moment of St. Ignatius, which happened 500 years ago, is an opportunity for everyone to begin to live every moment of their life as a moment of change, of conversion, and transformation. Even in instances where our life experiences are undesirable. Now, here in Ghana, Clover House Jesuit Retreat Center here, we continue to vigorously pursue the first universal apostolic preference of the society. That's by showing the way to God through the spiritual exercises and also giving courses on discernment for priests, for religious, and for the lay faithful. And the youth form a core part of some of our activities. And the Jesuits at St. Ignatius of Loyola Catholic Church in Bachona and Arupe Jesuit Institute also in Accra, they They've been organizing a series of webinars and seminars for parishioners and workers and collaborators on how they can draw fruit from the story of Ignatius and begin to see all things new in Christ, in their homes, in their workplaces, out there on the streets. And also, one of the things you notice that we have this 500th anniversary cloth, very beautiful, that is being sold, and our collaborators and Jesuits use them for shirts, for trousers, for dresses, and all that. And also, the Ignatius 500 logo is literally on everything that is printed in our apostolates. Well, expect Jesuits seeing all things new in Christ, and also our collaborators in tune with the dynamics of Ignatian principles in their lives, and also becoming contemplatives in action more and more. And just to mention, on 12th of March, the Society will celebrate the 400th anniversary of the canonization of St. Ignatius. And that's a very big event for us Jesuits and the entire Ignatian family, where we can deepen our relationship with Christ by looking at how the life of Ignatius, when you look at it through the lens of Christ, it can become a blueprint for our lives in this age.
Thank you for sharing, Father Gustav. I wish you well in your ministry.
Thank you very much, Father Paul. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. May God bless you and bless Vatican Radio. Grazie.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.